Two buildings have been excavated here. We're going to look at the upper one. The three square marks you can see show the position of three central pillars, columns that supported a stone vault. Amid the rubble excavated here, ornate window tracery was found, evidence that this was not a simple farmhouse. In the 12th and 13th centuries, two powerful families had control over the village, the Chamberlains and the Percys.
What we're looking at now appears to have been the manor house of the Chamberlain family, built in around 1175.
You have to think of this manor house as a group of buildings set within a large walled compound. This building was only one of many. The walled enclosure stretched all the way to the hedge line on the horizon. When the Percy family acquired the rights over the village in 1254, they demolished the Chamberlain's house and used the stone to build their own manor house. It's about 150 metres from here, and it's our next stop.
We're now going to walk away from the church along the edge of the escarpment. And as we walk in that direction, we'll be walking across the sites of plots called tofts and crofts, which were the sites of the medieval peasant houses.
Toft refers to the house itself, whereas croft was a stretch of private land immediately behind the house that could be used as a garden or an orchard.
And they're very regularly laid out, extraordinarily regularly, almost to the centimetre. And we think that this was laid out by the Chamberlain family at the same time that they built their manor house in about 1175 AD. We've got six tofts and crofts here laid out side by side, very neat, very regular, which were probably laid out as a planned unit by the Lord of the Manor, the Chamberlains.
The peasants would have had to pay for the right to live in those houses and grow crops on the land surrounding the village. Now continue walking over the plateau with your back to the church. We're heading towards the single, isolated hawthorn you can see in the distance. Eventually, you'll also see a panel somewhere to the left. This is our last stop.
Standing in front of the panel, we're facing towards the site of the North Manor, so-called, which was probably the home of the Percy family themselves. It's worth saying right at the beginning that this has never been excavated, so almost everything we know about this is from studying the humps and bumps that you can see on the surface.
Like the Chamberlain Manor House we've just seen, the North Manor consisted of a whole set of buildings.
Close to the hedge line, slightly towards your right, you'll find a large ring-shaped building, quite prominent wall lines. That's the site of a dovecot, and that was very much a status symbol, overlooking a courtyard into the manor complex. In the other direction, over to your left, was a very large, long building, which was a barn. We know as well that the Percy family had their own little private park, which presumably they would have kept deer in for food and for recreation, for hunting. And we think that that lay in the area beyond the hedge line that you're looking at straight ahead. We don't know what size the park was, but one of the banks and ditches just before you get to that hedge line looks very much like a park pale, in other words, the boundary that typically surrounds a medieval hunting park.
Our tour ends here. We'd like to thank Alistair Oswald for letting us into the secret of what lies beneath the surface here at Warren Percy. Feel free to walk around and explore this extraordinary site in more detail. But before you leave, you may want to listen to an interview that was recorded with John Hurst, the archaeologist who, together with Maurice Beresford, excavated this site and to whom we owe Warren Percy. We hope you've enjoyed your visit. Here is the late John Hurst speaking in 2000 about the excavations at Warren Percy.
Excavate one site at a time for 3 weeks each July, and during found a whole sequence of periods, which was very difficult to understand. We had very flimsy remains, and therefore we formed the idea that the peasant houses were rebuilt about every generation. But we should have been aware, even at that time, that it was not as simple as that, because we'd been finding keys, which presuppose solid wooden doors, and therefore it's not likely to be very substantial, and incidentally it does show that even in medieval times people had to keep their properties locked up. We therefore learned a great deal about how the medieval peasant lived, something entirely new. We went on in the 1960s, again with the small number of volunteers, to excavate another peasant house, Area 6. And then the situation completely changed in 1970, when I managed to persuade the Department of the Environment to take guardianship of the site, and therefore between 1970 and 1990, we had a 20-year programme looking at as many different aspects of the village as possible. But we went on to completely excavate the church, and then look at the boundaries of the village as well, which showed that the village had been laid out in late Saxon times on the Roman fields of an earlier Iron Age and Roman settlement. We learned a great deal about how these people lived and really how the medieval peasant lived.
If you'd like to see for yourself how the medieval peasant lived, you can visit the museum at Malton, where a peasant house has been recreated, and where you can also see some of the finds excavated here at Warren Percy. And perhaps you'd like to discover other English heritage sites. Gainsthorpe Medieval Village in Lincolnshire is another well-preserved deserted medieval village, and nearby you'll find Clifford's Tower at York, Kirkham Priory, Pickering Castle and Burton Agnes Manor House, another free site. For more information, visit the English Heritage website, and don't forget to fill in the questionnaire there and to let us know what you think of the tour. Goodbye.